Lord would not loose me from this, so this will be part three. Now, either we're not getting it, which I don't think that's the case. I think God is just trying to reiterate it in different ways to help us understand that this year is going to be different than what your years past have been. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Unless you want it to be the same, that's fine. But is there anybody here that says, I can't repeat 2018 in my life? Talk to me. Come on, talk to me. Come on, this year I got to be more than an overcomer. I got to be more than a conqueror. This year I must be effective. This year I must be dynamic. This year I must see the favor of God, the increase of God. This year my mind has to be healthy. My spirit must be on fire. This year I want the joy of the Lord. You got to actually want it. You got to say it out loud. I want the power of God to operate in my life. But we're not going to do it as individuals. We're going to do it as a church. We're not going to do with isolated islands here and somebody doing good here and there. I want the whole church to crescendo in the power and the passion of God. I want everybody to say we are on board for the kingdom of God to unfold, because everything in your personal life will get taken care of if the corporate body is on fire for God. If the corporate body is unified with the presence of God to operate like never before. Look at us even right now. Could you imagine if every single one of us got a fire in our soul? Could you imagine what would happen in this place? We would not be able to contain what God is going to do in this last hour. And sometimes as human beings and emotional beings, we want to shy away from the burden that God carries. We want to let go of the burden. No, I want the burden of this church to increase. I want you to feel the pain of the people around you. I want you to feel a sense of urgency that if I don't give my best, somebody is going to be lost. If I don't put my best effort into this thing, somebody might walk in this place and say, there's no power here, there's no anointing here, there's nothing for me here. But I pray there will be people that say, not here, not on my watch. I will allow the presence of God to fill this house so strong that people have to fall out prostrate because the presence of God is changing them. Not everybody might understand Pentecost. And we may not be able to sometimes articulate what's going on, but people can tell what they feel. They may not be able to explain it, but they might come in here with a burden or a heaviness or a spirit of evil in their lives, and they know their world is all messed up, but they found a place where the presence of God, and there were people here that believe in the presence of God, and they look around and say, there's something about the people that have a joy on the inside of them. Now, I'm not talking about a perfect people. I'm talking about a people that say, we need God in this house. We know we need the presence of God for everything that we're dealing with. And I tell you, in this house, you don't know the circumstances that people are dealing with right now. And that's why we tell you, you cannot play church. We can't play church. We can't play pretend church. We need a move of God in every service, because we need somebody to say, that's where I get my strength. I don't always know how to get through my Monday through Saturday, but when I come into the house of God and the people are engaged, they're not just here, but they're engaged with their hands raised. They're engaged with their mouth open. They're engaged with something that's reaching out to something that's bigger than themselves. And I tell you, the reason why you feel like you ever inhibited on worshiping God is because you really don't believe there's somebody bigger, greater than yourself. But I tell you, somebody is greater than you in this house, and he's worthy of all the glory and all the honor. I want to, what now? Why don't we raise our hand and say, God, you are worthy. You might not know what to say, but say, God, you are worthy. That means you're saying you are worthy, oh God, of the worship in this house. And you can fix everything. You can change everything. You can turn everything around, God. You can save me. You can help me. You can heal me. You can deliver me. You can do a work today. And I'm on this topic about defying odds. Because in every body of people that you're in any society, any culture, any classroom, any job, anything, there's always a majority that do things the same way and they just go with the flow. And the word that God has been telling and talking to us year of this month, week after week, is defy the odds. And when I say defy the odds, I'm being absolutely as clear as possible to you when I say this. The odds are against you. The odds are against me. There's so many things out there that's trying to take you and your family out. Hear me today. There's so many things that's pulling for your emotions, pulling for your sanity, pulling for your attention, pulling for your focus. It's trying to destroy you. Is there anybody here you can say, yeah, there's things that's trying to just literally destroy me? It's not a surprise. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And let me say something else that's very bold. Majority of people he is successful in. Satan is very successful in what he does. Broad is the way that leads to damnation. But narrow is the way. Straight is the gate that leads to eternal life. Now please hear me. When I'm trying to transfer something, it's not just a one-time thing I'm trying to plant inside of you. I'm trying to help us change our mentality to stop allowing the devil to bully us. I don't know if it's because I'm short and I have maybe a short man syndrome complex, but I was never bullied in my life. You might have tried, but I'm not going to let you. Now, that's one thing in the natural, but what happens in the spiritual? In the spiritual, you got to say, I refuse to be bullied by my enemy. I know the majority of people may fall out, and they may fall away, and they may not be able to walk a life full of the Spirit of God. And that is the majority most of the time. But we are going to be a church that will defy odds. We will be a church that say, I don't care how much is stacked up against us, we shall have the victory. Our family shall be saved. People shall be healed. People shall, come on, agree with me right now. People shall be delivered. People shall be set free. Lives are going to be changed. And their past is not going to stop nor hinder their future. Because we all have a past. And we have things and things that are dark that we're ashamed of in our life. Can I tell you that won't stop God if you surrender yourself and be in agreement with him that I'm going to defy the odds, defy the statistics that say this is where I should end up. The devil is a liar. I will be what God says I am, and I choose to defy those odds. 1 Kings chapter 1. Verse 24, it is in connection to our commitment service. We have these services because sometimes you got to write down what you're going to do. You have to write down what your intentions are. You have to be intentional about what your future is going to be. The majority of people that go around in circles are those that have no map to where they're going to go. So they never know if they ever end up where they wanted to go because they never had a target. And God wants to speak to us, but for us to see this happen, we have to make a decision. I have to defy the odds. I have to defy what's normal. I have to defy what the majority always does. I cannot be in the majority. I got to be in the minority. Are you hearing me this morning? You got to get out of the majority and get in the minority. That's where God does his best work. Among the minority. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 24. Nathan said, my Lord, O king, hast thou said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Little quick context, this is Nathan the prophet talking to David in his old age. He's asking David, David, I don't remember you saying that Adonijah, your other son, was going to take the throne. For he has gone down this day, speaking of Adonijah, which is David's other son. He has slain oxen and the fat cattle and sheep in abundance. And he calleth all the king's sons and the captains of the host. He called Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. But me, even me, thy servant, and Zadok the priest. Now watch this person, because we've been talking about Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called. He left some of us out. He didn't want some of us to show up to his ill-advised party. Is this thing done by my lord the king? Nathan's asking. And have thou hast showed it unto thy servant who should sit on the throne of my lord, the king after him? Verse 28. Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came to the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, as the Lord lives, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress. You see, I'm not coming because I have nothing to bring, or I don't have any past that God has not brought me out of. I see how God has still kept me. Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so I will certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth, and did reverence to the king, and said, let my lord King David live forever. Verse 32. And King David said, call me, only a few, can't call everybody, but call me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. Defy the odds. Part 3. Lord Jesus, let revelation get a hold of our heart. It's not really going to be, quote unquote, that deep of a message. It's going to be simple. But even in the simplicity of the message, somebody has to make it personal about their desire to be different and to stand out and make themselves completely available for the kingdom of God to expand. It's not just about us and our own individual feelings. And sometimes we get that mixed up. The church of the living God is bigger than any of our own personal feelings. The kingdom of God is trying to pull people from the depths of a devil's hell. The kingdom of God is trying to get people off of addictions, drugs, and alcohol, and immorality. The church is here to be a light to those that cannot find their way. And we in this church will do our purpose and do our part to defy the odds and to fight for the kingdom of God to be here on this earth. And we would do it together. Let the church say amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Recently, we learned about Benaiah. He was someone that made up in his mind that he was going to defy the odds and reach his highest level of potential, no matter all the odds that were stacked up against him. And I feel to just say this real quickly. Do you even know what your own personal potential is? It's not in my notes. Just about to tell you that. Do you know what can happen in your life if you would give it not 75, not 80, but 100%. Have you taken time to consider the power of God with you when you truly make up in your mind to give everything you have to be a vessel for the kingdom of God? Do you know what your mind would look like? Do you know what your spirit would look like? I want to tell you with all the fervor in my spirit that God has a level for you to reach inside of his will, and you got to say, Lord, I got to learn how to grasp what you have for me. You must come in the house of God and recognize that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That saying, God, I know you got something more for my life, and I got to start being attentive to receiving it for myself. And there was something in Benaiah, even at a young age, that he was drawn to do things that others would not do because he understood there's something in me that God's trying to bring out of. And so when challenges shows up, he didn't run away from the challenges. He ran towards the challenges. We all have all type of challenges that come and enter into our life. And the majority of people do not defy the odds. They go with the odds and they say, I can't do it anymore. The majority of people don't run towards danger. They don't run towards opportunity. They don't run towards challenges. They run away from them. But we learn that Benaiah, he saw two lion-like men, and the majority of people ran away. But Benaiah ran towards those two lion-like men, and he killed both of them. Then we heard about it a few weeks ago that he went into a pit on a snowy day and he killed a lion. And then we read he also snatched a spear out of a good-looking Egyptian man and used that very spear to kill that Egyptian man. What was he saying? He was saying, I'm somebody that will go and take advantage of the opportunities. Though most people run away from them, I choose to defy every odd to tell me to sit back and be quiet, but I will be somebody that will stand and rise against everything that will try to hinder God's purpose in my life. And looking at all that this man did, we see that it was during the time he was with and while he was serving King David. And before David was made king, he said, I'm making up in my mind, and this is what I'm talking about. Before David ever became king and reached his highest glory, there was somebody in amongst the congregation that says, I'm choosing to be committed to the man who is anointed. Before David ever reached his highest place or his highest plateau, there was somebody in the background that says, I may not ever attain to what he's attaining to, but blessed, rest assured, I will be somebody that will defy the odds. I'm not going to leave the person who is anointed. I'm not going to leave the place that is anointed. I will be committed like Benaiah to things that are anointed. I know he's on the run. I know he's not where he thought he would be, but I'm going to stand right there, and I choose to be committed to this man who God has chosen and anointed. That means before David ever had a position, and before he had a quote-unquote position of even being David's bodyguard, he had a mentality that says, I'm going to be someone who defies the odds and be committed to what I see the hand of the Lord is upon. So can I make it plain here right now? Do you believe that the anointing of God is upon this church? Do you believe that Lighthouse is truly a city set on a hill that cannot be hid? Do you really believe that this city needs this church? Come on, talk to me. Come on, talk to me. Do you really believe that this city needs this church? Do you really believe that God has called us for such a time as this? I'm trying to stir your heart right now. I'm trying to wake you up to what the purpose of this church is. This church is pulling people out of the fire. This church
church is trying to see people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that their sins can be removed. Do you believe that God has anointed us in this hour? Benaiah, with all of his heart, understood that David was a shepherd boy, the youngest of 8 sons, but yet the oil would not pour out on his other brothers. Praise God. The oil was only going to pour out on the one that God had anointed for that hour. Do you believe? Are you convinced that the oil of the Holy Ghost is being poured out upon Lighthouse Church and its members? See, I have to ask that question out loud because maybe you didn't think of the church that way. Maybe you just came here and you come in week by week just to get a little bit of word and then you go about your business. But Benaiah understood, we are a young nation. We are a young people. And Saul could not get us there. But while Saul was doing his thing, God was already raising somebody up in the background. And you know what God was saying? I don't care who messes it up. The will of God is going to happen. And my kingdom is going to expand. I told Abraham, I told Isaac, and I told Jacob that everywhere they put their foot on, my blessing was going to be upon it. And Saul did not expand my kingdom. And there might be people here in this church that maybe Lighthouse had not yet reached its full potential. But can I tell you right now, God is raising up some Davids. God's raising up somebody that says, I might be on the backside of a desert somewhere, but God ain't done yet. You better believe God ain't done yet. You better believe that God is still stirring something behind the scene. And so Benaiah recognized there's something happening. And there's this young shepherd boy. And his name was David. I don't know where Benaiah was. But Benaiah heard the story somehow, some way, that this 17-year-old boy slew a giant. That the majority of the Israelite army, including King Saul, stayed in their tent, stayed quiet, stayed hiding. But David says, is there not a cause? And David defied the odds and said, I'll go fight the giants. Is there anybody here that says, I'm ready in 2019? I'm going to fight some giants. I'm not going to sit. And so Benaiah saw that and says, there's somebody I got to follow. There's somebody that I think I can get with. Because there's something in me that wants more. But if I want more, I got to get around people that want more. Amen. Word of caution right now. If you're going to be out and in this church of Lighthouse, I and my wife, the team, is going to do whatever we can to get more out of you because we are people of more. If you go hang around us, then you're going to receive the benefits as well of getting more. Who wants more of the presence of God? Who wants to walk in this place and knowing that we have the authority? Come on, bring in the sick and the lame and the tired. We're not afraid because there are people here that say, we got more. We got what it takes. We've been walking with the anointing. We've been walking with what God says he is going to do. I want everyone in this church to recognize we want every bad issue to come in this door, and we got the power to pray over them in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. So Benaiah said, he's anointed. I'm committing myself to him and to his work because God's anointed him. In this hour, it must be the desire of the saints of God not to do things to build our own kingdom, our own name, our own self-esteem. But Benaiah says, I know I've done some great feats myself.
I killed some great men myself. I killed a lion myself. But David, when I get to you, I'm not trying to build up my kingdom, David. I'm trying to build the kingdom that God put inside of you. There's got to be men and women here in this church that said it's not about me and my kingdom and my will and my feelings. It's about the kingdom of God unfolding in this place. Come on, raise your hand right now and say what we sang earlier. God, not my will, thy kingdom come. I got to be somebody that the kingdom of God flows out of. It's not about my mindset. It's about the greater purpose of what this church is here for. And this church is here to expand the kingdom of God in this area. Just like Benaiah recognized that it was David's responsibility to expand the kingdom of Israel. Now, before David became king, someone says, I'll serve you, and I'll make sure you reach the place of the dreams that God intended for you. Well, that defies the odds, because most people say, let me get where I'm going first, and then I'll help you get where you're going. Let me take care of my situation first, and once I'm all kind of good, well, then I'll step and I'll help you out, David. Benaiah said, no, I'm going to defy the odds. I'm going to serve you before I serve myself. I'm going to serve something greater than myself. Majority of people, we're not happy when you serve yourself. You know you're not excited when you serve yourself. I know things are kind of going good, but there's something deep down inside of you say it's shallow to only serve myself. I got to serve something bigger than my. Am I talking to anybody here with a passion? Am I talking to anybody here with a burden? Is there anybody here? I want to do more than just for myself and my own. I want to be part of something bigger. Bigger than me. You would never have a full life if you only live for yourself, because you weren't created for that. Most odds point towards people who like to jump on bandwagons. Those that say they are part when they have sacrificed nothing. They have given nothing. They are committed to nothing. They only do things that are convenient. And if it's convenient, don't worry, I'll do it. But if it's inconvenient, God, the majority of people, will put God on pause. Hold on, God. Let me do what I need to do, and then unpause. That's the majority. That's the majority. Somebody say amen. I know I'm talking to you. Don't look at your neighbor. I'm talking to you. You put everything before God. You serve God in convenience. You love the way he makes you feel. But you don't want to give extra. Let me do the bare minimum. Now, pastor's not talking about salvation. We're saved by grace, through faith, to get through God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But because I'm saved, I'm supposed to be compelled to lay down my life and take up my cross the way he did. But in Christendom, we don't preach that anymore. We preach as long as you feel good, everything's fine. But the true gospel is that God knows that you're going to be offended doing his work. God knows you will be tired really committed to him. When you're really sold out to being a disciple, it's not easy. It's a cross that he said you have to bear and carry. And not everybody wants to carry the cross. The disciples had no problem there passing out the fishes and loaves. They had no problem there healing the sick, touching lives, watching the blinded eyes open, all the excitement. I want to be a part of that. Oh, but when it came time for Jesus to be crucified, they all scattered, because that's what the majority does. The majority scatters when things get hard. The majority scatters when things are not going the way they want it to. But we're saying if this year is going to be different, for the corporate body and your own life as individuals, you have to defy the odds and say, this is a year that I am going to sacrifice. This is a year it's going to be okay to be uncomfortable. This is a year it's going to be okay to be committed. This will be the year it's going to be okay that things are not going my way. This is the year I will accept it, because if it's for the kingdom of God, I put myself out of the way and say, not my will, but thy will be done. And who do we get that from? We get it from Messiah, who cried drops of blood because he knew it would be hard to go to a cross and die. But guess what? He got on that cross anyway, and he laid down his life so that we could be free. But don't you know the story doesn't stop there? What I did for you on Calvary, I need you to now do it. Because if you don't lay down yourself, somebody's not going to hear the gospel. If you don't give 100%, there's somebody that will get left out. I don't want that on the conscience of Lighthouse Church, that we didn't give our best and we didn't stay committed. Even though the odds say the majority of people won't, there will be somebody here that says, I'm going to defy the odds. Most odds point to those that let others put in all the hard work first, and then when the blessings are flowing, they want to say, oh yeah, I'm a part of that group. Oh yeah, that's my people, that's my church, that's my pastor, that's my family. When things are booming. But where were you when things weren't booming? Where were you when we didn't have a drummer and a musician and a song? Where were you? Where were you when the preschool wasn't at its full place? Where were you when it was just a few of us there? Where were you in those moments when we needed a little bit of extra help from more because we have a little bit less to work with? Where are you then? Or are you waiting for things to explode? And then you're going to show up when the saints go marching in. Are you going to evangelize when we have a new church building on a main thoroughfare? We have the best choir in the world, when we're recording, when we're doing all kind of great things that God has given us vision for. Is that when you're going to show up and be dedicated? But where are those behind the scenes like Benaiah? I'm not getting all the credit, but I'm going to support what God has anointed. Scripture implies that many were excited when David became king and wanted to show support when there was no opposition to him. But the question was, where were you when David was in the cave? You weren't behind David when he was in secret, but now he's being promoted to king. And hey, let's celebrate David's kingship. Benaiah showed dedication and commitment to what he saw God raising up before David ever became king. There's something about David. There's something about this church. They're not at its apex yet, but there's something there that I want to support and be a part of. Serving and staying committed is the key to your advancement. At the end of David's life, we find that when it was time to elevate his son Solomon to take his place as king, his other son was conspiring to take over the throne. His son Adonijah assumed the authority, the throne, and he invited all his other brothers and sisters and all the people in the kingdom, but he didn't invite Solomon, obviously, but he didn't invite the prophet. But then I found it very interesting that he also did not invite Benaiah. I mean, scripture actually lets us know that Benaiah was among the few that weren't invited. Why wasn't Benaiah invited? Because there was something about Benaiah's lifestyle that you're not going to get me to trade, to be a traitor over the one I committed to. So there's no business even asking somebody that you know they're committed to a bigger cause. Are there some Benaiahs here? It showed how much he was committed and loyal to David. They didn't even bother inviting someone they knew that would have no parts on Solomon not becoming the next person. This is your year to be loyal. Defy the odds. Loyalty is a rare thing these days.
people are not loyal anymore. Any little thing set them off and they run away. What happened to good old-fashioned loyalty? Come on, somebody, talk to me. But to be loyal, that means you have to defy the odds. The majority of people are not loyal. Don't be counted among those that give up, turn around, follow something that is not anointed. Think about it. The majority of people that went to Adonijah was not anointed. So the majority may follow something, but if that something's not anointed, you have no business following it. Don't you get yourself all worked up to leave and do something and not do what God wants you to do, because if you're following something that God has not anointed, at first it might look good. But if it's not anointed, it's not going to last. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this church is anointed. This is your year to join in and be a part of an anointed church, of a God-called church, of a God-assigned church. Do you believe you're a part of a God-ordained church? Do you believe that God has brought you on assignment? God has anointed this church for such a time as this. And so you got to be loyal. Benaiah didn't leave when others left. Benaiah was steadfast and loyal to the anointed one. Benaiah stayed committed. He was going to be a part of the growth of David's kingdom, no matter who left. As a result of defying the odds and staying loyal, as I fast forward the story and wrap this up right now, is that at first he was only a bodyguard to David, but since he stayed faithful to David and loyal all those years, when David's mighty men showed up and got Adonijah out of there and Solomon was promoted to be now the king, Benaiah now was promoted, and Benaiah was made the general of the entire Israeli army. He made up in his mind, if I just stay committed, God will be the one that will ultimately elevate me to where I want to go. Little Rodney, I don't know if you can do it, but inside of the media player is a song called Forever. And I wanted to play softly. Now here in a moment, we're going to do something, and then we're going to pass out our commitment forms to you. And Brother Willis, if you can go grab those commitment forms. If we're short, there's also some on my desk behind my chair. And get pens ready. But Brother Haddock, I want you and your wife to come stand here in front of the church. This is going to be our first ordination service here. I felt it appropriate this day that we ordain someone in the ministry on our commitment service. Ordain them under the ministry of the umbrella of Lighthouse Church, because he has shown years of faithfulness and dedication to the work of ministry here in this church. Jesus said this in John 15, 16, and Sister Barlow, if you can get Acts 14, 23, ready to go. Acts 14, 23. But John 15, 16 says,
my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast.
No, not that one. Turn that off. It should be on the today's date in the media player. But turn it down really low if you could. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you. That's the one. Good. Just turn it down. He used the word meaning to appoint or to place. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, leaders were appointed or set apart in a special way. Paul and Barnabas were set apart as missionaries by the church at Antioch, according to Acts 14, 23, and I want you to read that.
And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed.
So they set aside, Paul and Barnabas, a specific opportunity to be missionaries. In Acts chapter 6, 7 men were set apart as deacons. The New Testament doesn't necessarily teach that an ordination service is an essential requirement for equipping leaders for their ministry.
But the ceremony of setting a person apart for ministry seems to fit the New Testament pattern. The Haddocks have been here. They've been faithful. They've had a heart for people. They have supported and put their work into this local ministry for over 5 years. And they've done it without a title. They've done whatever we've asked them to do when it comes to ministry and serving people. And not only has he allowed me to mentor him and had to be mentored by my wife, he has been under specific training for 2 years of reading, studying, learning, and serving. And you all can attest he has been a blessing to you as well. That's true. Clap your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are qualifications that fall under a specific title of deacon, but the attributes of it is what they are fitting as well. A man of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of faith. He's grave, reverence for spiritual matters, whose words carries weight. Not double-tongued, he's dependable and honest, relating to persons publicly and privately. He has a good reputation among this church. He's bigness in one way, but yes, also in his character and his personal dedication. He's able to discern right and wrong and to stand for his convictions. Like Stephen, his faith has required to risk himself and his possessions. He's done it. He sacrificed. Not given to wine, praise God. Not greedy of filthy lucre. He has a right attitude towards material possessions, never exploiting others for his own gain. I personally know that he has sacrificed his own money in order to make sure friendships and relationships would not be broken because of miscommunications. I know that personally. A holder of the faith, he gives strength to the church fellowship and possesses spiritual integrity beyond reproach. He's been tested. He's been proved. He's shown commitment to the ministry long before today. There has been no wrong or any charge against him that's been brought with any level of any type of success. He has a Christian home, and he prays for his children. A Christian home does not always necessarily mean that all your kids live for God, but what it does mean, you set the order and the stage of what your home is going to look like, and they have done that. They are bold in the faith. So on this day, January 27, 2019, I and my wife, we appoint and ordain Brother Jason Haddock as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ under the ministry of Lighthouse Church of Independence. I commission you both to preach the word of God. I commission you in the name of Jesus Christ to spread the gospel of Jesus. I commission you in the name of Jesus Christ to continue to be a vessel that is available for the building of the kingdom of God. And as you stand right here in front of this congregation, I'm going to anoint you and lay hands on you with this oil. And I want the church from where you're at, I want you to stretch forth your hands. And we're going to pray that his ministry will continue to thrive in this place.